You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
And turning to 1 hour, 3 minutes, and 39 seconds.
Oh, Serena. So, but good.
It's just sad for Gib.
We worked on Gib spiritually, healing her and helping her and cutting her cords from Dave all day.
Yeah, I worked on her last night. Today too, just sending her lots of love to cast out all this fear that's inside her.
It was all just fear. It's all celestial fear. And I needed to remind her, and I didn't get to talk to her, but I needed to remind her, like I did when she was getting divorced, you are not a celestial being anymore. So don't go to the celestial world. But that's what she's doing, and Dave's talking her into doing it. So I need to remind her, she's a terrestrial being. Dave is not. So that's the problem.
So he's not going to be.
And he's not going to be at this rate. He's not going to be. So sad. I wanted that for her, but I love her so much. Such a doll.
Yeah, I know.
But I don't think she's going to do it. She's down to, what's her percentage now? 10% that she might do it.
That's good.
I think she wrote it down, and after she wrote it down, she doesn't really want to do it. So I don't think she did it. But it's down to 10% that she's going to do it.
We want to know our...
I'm going to stop at 1 hour, 4 minutes, and 55 seconds. Again, in there, there's talk of a Dave and Gib. Do you know who those individuals are?
Yes, David Warwick and Melanie Gib.
And there's talk of Lori telling Melanie that she needs to get over, just has telestial fear. So again, would that be referencing earthly fear?
Correct.
And then she references that Melanie's not a telestial being anymore. She's now a terrestrial being.
Correct.
Do you know what's being indicated there?
That she either had been, she'd gone through the process of translation, or she was going through it.
And there was reference as well to cutting cords from Dave. Do you recall hearing that?
Yes.
And again, you described you could be attached to something positive or negative.
Correct.
If it was negative, is that when you'd want to cut the cords?
Yes.
So the indication would be Lori viewed Dave as negative.
Correct.
And you mentioned translation.
Yeah.
Did you learn, had you heard of translation before?
Yes.
Had you ever heard of it in the way that Chad and Lori were teaching it?
It sounded similar. I had heard of it in scripture. When you talk about the city of Enoch being translated, taken up into heaven, that sort of thing. But I'd never heard of it in the exact context that they were talking about.
And turning to the 1 hour, 23 minute, and 29 second mark. And stopping at 1 hour, 23 minutes, and 41 seconds. Did you hear Al on there indicating there's nothing left to do in Rexburg?
Yes.
And did you hear someone respond, yeah, Al, you know better?
Yeah.
Do you know who responded that?
Sounds like Chad.
At the time this call was placed, do you know if Alex was still living in Rexburg?
He had left Rexburg at the time this call had been placed.
Do you know if he still had an apartment there?
He did.
But he was not residing there?
Correct.
And Your Honor, we can go off of casting for a moment in the HDMI.
Okay.
And excuse me, Mr. Pulowski, I'd ask you about another recording that was made the day Alex passed away. Do you recall that?
Yes.
And do you believe if you were to hear some of that recording that you would be able to recognize it?
Absolutely.
Your Honor, I have what's been marked as States 266B. My intent would be to ask to publish a portion of it for to allow him to lay the foundation.
All right. For that limited purpose, you can publish a just enough to lay foundation.
I remember you giving up.
And Mr. Pulowski, could you hear a couple women on there?
Yes.
Are you able to recognize who they were?
That was Melanie, who was present in the room, and then Lori was on the phone.
And do you recognize this recording?
Yes.
And is it the recording that you made approximately December 11th of 2019?
Yes.
Your Honor, I would move for admission the state's exhibit.
266B, have you had a chance to review that, Mr. Pryor?
I have reviewed that, Judge, but I'm going to ask that if we're going to be admitting that, we admitted it in its entirety, please.
And the state's intent would be to admit the entirety. I have it as 56 minutes is what will be admitted. And the state would intend to simply publish portions today.
Okay. Well, Exhibit 266B is admitted. And as you did in the previous exhibit, Ms. Blake, reference the portions that are being published. So the record acknowledges that. And with that, you may proceed.
And Mr. Plowski, do you know if Melanie was close with Alex Cox?
Yes.
Was she upset by his passing?
Yes.
And this recording is made the same day that she learned of his passing?
Yes.
Your Honor, I'm moving to minute 6. Well, 6:40 is the timestamp.
I mean, it's sad. Like, sort of, what do you believe in anymore, Mel? It's nothing, like, you know, it's just sad for her.
It's so sad for her. Like,
but she. I kind of had a glimpse of that today because I was like, what's going to happen with that? And she was like, did you know Lori said that she felt inspired to say that I have JJ? And I was like, yeah, you were inspired to say that. Because look what's happened. Like, and I don't know.
I was inspired to say that. I had to work research, so I was like, I don't want to say that. I don't want to work.
Yeah, everything has happened how it's supposed to, I feel like, and it's just sad for her, but I had a glimpse of her, like she's just doing this because she wants Dave so much, and Dave is totally deceived her, and I had a glimpse of her, like, when everything goes down, and it's, like, us standing together, like, he will feel, like, we'll just embrace her with love, but she'll come around finally.
And stopping at 8 minutes even. Mr. Pulowski, again, we hear talk of a Melanie and Dave. And Dave, do you know which Melanie and Dave that's referring to?
Yeah, Melanie Gibb and David Warwick.
And Mark being 844.
Mark, my buddy, just love him. He's been a huge part of our life.
We
talk to them every night.
Yeah.
They're like, we're all their friends. You guys are all
taking it. I know. I call them every day. Every day, I just, even if we talked about nothing, I just maybe talk to him and report to him and tell him everything.
And stopping at 9:05, did you hear Lori in there referencing someone that we talk to every night?
Yes.
Do you know who that reference is in regards to?
I believe at that time they were referencing God.
And going to 9:18.
Do you know my other phone, is it being tracked or recorded or listened to? My 480 number?
The one you had. Yes, we're getting, yes.
Okay, so I'm keeping it. I just talked to Ian on it, basically, and make sure there are phone calls, so.
Sorry, I have my number. I said, what's going
on? Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to pause here briefly at 10 minutes even. Did you hear in there Melanie inquiring if her phone was being tracked?
Yes.
And what was the response from Lori?
That they were getting yes.
Was it common for Melanie to turn to Chad and Lori for answers?
Yes.
And Judge, might I inquire, is the volume all the way up on the courtroom speakers?
We'll check because it is difficult to hear.
I'm seeing a nod yes. I think this one's just a little more difficult to hear. Okay. I just wanted to verify. Continuing on at the 10-minute mark.
Do we transfer time bombs? This might affect you and raise the vibration in the house. You put sheets of light around all sides and may protect you above and below. And close all dark portals that are nearby. You can feel protected. The dark side can be kept at bay. So at this time, Melanie Pulowski, by the power of the Holy Melchizedek Priesthood and the Patriarchal Order, in the name of Jesus Christ, we lay our hands upon your head and invite many others to come at the front of the wind. Oh, boy. might have been my own eye out of the way. I don't know if I'd like that. Right there. We love you, Al. So grateful for you. Dear Mel, we bless you now with strength and power. You've been so courageous and valiant, faithful, and such a true friend. Always a wonderful person. This time, I include Ian in the blessing as well by removing any weapons or curses or negative cords that are attached to either one of you. Just sever them all and turn those curses to whoever sent them and destroy the weapons that you can feel powerful. We fill you with light and love, strength, with our healing solution. Pour that into your bodies. Every bit of you, every cell can be rejuvenated and feel that strength. We bind your hearts together. You are an amazing pair. Love you both so much. Bless you with confidence in the Lord. You are moving forward, both of you, so well. Jesus is with us. We are being guided and instructed. And it seems like such a tragedy, but Al is triumphant, exalted. He is saying over and over, I can help you so much more now. I can believe the avenues that are now open to me to help you. Help Mel, help with the children. This is my next step of my mission, to help you all from this side in a powerful, protective way. Ways that I could not even imagine. That's what he's saying. I will, he said. I will. Fear not. I am with you. Sharing that it was the Savior himself who told him that was well done. You can now move forward and continue your mission. You hardly got a break. I don't think you've got a life in you, which is probably fine with him. But he is at work. He is already on the job helping us. I bless you, Mel, with physical strength, healing. Your body can feel mended and whole. Bless you emotionally. I lock down any anxiety, emotions, your anxiety gene. I put it aside and lock it down. We can feel calm this struggle. I bless you spiritually, that your knowledge of the gospel and its fullness is strengthened, and you know it is true. And again, I bless you to continue to just have that faith. You are a powerful man. You're on the Lord's team. I know you're struggling with your ex-wife and those kind of issues, but the Lord is with you more than you ever believe. He's right there in that room there. Dozens of angels who are eager for you to succeed, you will. I bless you with the ability to communicate with us more regularly. We'll figure out ways to do so. Stay in touch to strengthen each other and bless each other. And now turn it over to Lily to add a few more words for this blessing.
Melanie, we're so grateful for you as people and as powerful warriors on our team. Our team has been dwindling with all the people that we've trusted, that we can count on you to be valiant, faithful warriors. I'm so proud of you, so grateful for you, and love you so much. I've seen and know that you have great missions ahead of you, that you will be in New Jerusalem with all of your children. You will be happy there, and you will go from there, and you will be given assignments directly from Jesus Christ, and you will go on assignment, and you will go rescue lots of children. You've seen Melanie being in charge of how the children being brought back will be distributed and helped and loved, and she didn't think she liked that job, but she is going to love that job. It's something that she is great at, and organizing and helping and loving all those children. You will both have the opportunity to love so many children and help so many children in this lifetime. We are grateful for you being strong. It's been hard, but I endow you with power at this time to have that strength during this time of sorrow. We sorrow for ourselves because we'll miss our friend and buddy, but we do not sorrow for him, for he is powerful and glorious at this very moment, and more powerful to help us in this celestial world as we move swiftly and quickly into the terrestrial world, as we are destined on that course. The Lord is coming soon, and we are his warriors that are cleaning and purifying the earth and preparing it for his coming. He has asked us to do so on this errand, and you are both a part of that number one team. It is our job, and we will do it. And he will come and rule and reign in majesty and power and might, and everything will be glorious, and there will be no more tears, and there will be no more pain. And I promise that you will be there by his side, as will we. You were destined for this. You were born for this. You have been prepared for this. Do not doubt. Do not fear. Have great faith and go along each day knowing that the Lord is aware of both of your situations. His hand is in it. You will send his angels, including Alex, his wonderful warrior, to clear the way, that you will be reunited with the children, and it will be a glorious reunion. Do not fear and do not doubt. Call down angels to surround you at all times, legions of angels that we have at our charge that will be round about you at all times, that they may help you feel peace and comfort as you go on about your daily celestial tasks that you must do. And remember, you will be reunited, and it will be glorious, and it will be soon.
I'll show up this blessing for both of you. Show it up in heaven. The angels will not leave you desolate this evening. You'll feel them throughout the night and into tomorrow, and guide you in every step. We do this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank
you.
You're welcome.
And pausing there at 1917, Mr. Plowski, we'd talked before that you were open to these ideas for a brief period of time.
Yes.
When these recordings were made, were you still open to these ideas?
No.
In that blessing again, did you hear reference to removing weapons?
Yes.
And removing curses?
Yes.
Cutting negative cords?
Yes.
And again, is that something that you'd ever heard in religious teachings prior to this group?
No. Removing curses had been something that I'd heard about, but cords and weapons I had not.
And had you heard about it in the context that Chad and Lori talked about it?
Yes.
And these are two calls. When you were recording the calls, were there any other times that Chad and Lori were on any calls?
You'd have to refresh my memory. There's I believe there were 9 recordings that I made, if I remember correctly.
Yes, I believe so. Around 9.
And I don't remember all of them. You know, if you were to play them for me, I could absolutely identify them. But
you'd be able to. In the times that you would have conversations with Chad and Lori, was it common for Chad to offer up a blessing?
Yeah.
Did you have very many interactions with Chad where a blessing wasn't given?
No.
Was that something that you were used to within standard religious teachings?
No.
And continuing on from that 1917.
Well, what did you talk to Julie about Al's witness? What is she planning on doing, do you know?
She called me first. I was like, well, what did Mom and Dad say? And she said, I just called you first.
I know.
She said, I don't know what he would want. And they said he just didn't care about anything in this world. He just wanted his guitar out of his house. He didn't want anything. And so I said he probably would want to just have it be simple and cheap, like be cremated. And I said, you know, talk to Dad. Dad knows how to do all that stuff since he was a sexton.
And when we hear Melanie refer to Mom and Dad, do you know who she's referencing?
Chad and Lori.
And then she talks about Dad being familiar with that. Do you know who that Dad is?
Yes, that's Chad.
Right. But
yeah, that would be the best way. I think a lot like Charles, just simple.
But not at all like Charles.
In the sense of maybe have him cremated.
Well, what are you? Are you going to go to Arizona, or can you, or what? What do you think?
We don't know yet. Maybe not.
Yeah.
I don't know if we should deal with the family at all. I don't know if the police are going to let them know, or yeah, they're just going to leave it to Zoe to let people know, or she should even let anybody know.
Yeah, I thought of that too. That maybe it'd be better if. I just, I don't want Brandon to know. I want him to be in fear of Al the rest of his life.
Well, he should be more in fear of him now than he ever has been. I'm sure he's number one on his list.
Yeah, I just felt so much peace during that blessing. I felt so much peace during that blessing that, like, Al's, like, going to be with Breezy and Braxton.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to pause there at 2056. Did you hear a conversation there about Chad and Lori, whether they were going to travel to Arizona?
Yes.
Do you know why Melanie was wondering if they were going to go to Arizona?
Because her kids are in Arizona.
Do you know if Alex's services would have been in Arizona?
That's where Dilemma lived, so that was the most appropriate location.
And then moving forward and going to 2237.
So, I don't know.
So I was telling Al that Tammy, I don't remember if we told you this, but Tammy was here the other day and said how the Rexburg police are ridiculous. And she told me that.
As we know already.
Converse with her. And then Al was laughing at that so hard. So I'm like, he's going to be handling the police from now on.
Yeah, he can handle Aramisio. I was so upset though because they still have all my stuff and like I don't care about my things, but I have a hard drive that has all my pictures on it and I'm just frustrated with them. Like they have no reason to even keep it, but
they don't, but they're just corrupt. So, are they
the ones tracking my phone or is it Brandon or Bull?
That's Rexburg.
Yeah, they are checking you.
I'm going to pause at 2330. Mr. Plowski, did you hear a reference to the name Tammy?
Yes.
Do you know who they were referencing?
Tammy Daybill.
Do you know at this point in time if Tammy was alive or not?
She was not.
And Melanie's inquiring again about her phone being tracked. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Did you hear Chad's response as to who's tracking her phone?
Rexburg.
And is that in reference to Rexburg Police Department?
Yes.
Continuing on at 2330.
Just have faith that we'll get all of that back for you.
I don't care. It's just, I just didn't know if I needed to call them and get it back or if I should, if they call me and say they want to give it back to me, they're going to do what they did last time and just corner me in a room for hours.
I'm told that if you talk to them again, it'll start the circus over.
So just avoid them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Al's passing is kind of a marker for us all to just move forward. Trust in the Lord. I feel
bad. I'm going to pause at 2407. From that conversation, does it sound like Melanie had talked to the police before?
Yes.
And does it appear that Chad's encouraging her to speak to the police again?
He's not.
Is he encouraging her to avoid them?
Yes.
And then Chad makes reference to with Al's passing, basically it's a chance to move forward.
Right.
Do you hear that in there?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Continuing on from 2407.
Those items are still at that police station, but hopefully soon we can just get them back for you.
They told us they were going to give us all of our stuff back from Charles, too, and they've never given it back to us. They have no intention of giving it back.
Yeah, that's fine. But I feel like if he comes to try to talk to me, like I'll just be shut down. I'll just be like, look, like I just lost my uncle. I don't want to, like I'm not talking about anything. You know,
yeah, I don't have anything to say.
I don't have anything. I already said everything and just leave me the freak alone and give me my stuff back or don't, but just don't talk to me. So,
right.
But we're going to stay here in our little apartment here in 174.
Okay. And we'll protect it. Also, we could probably, it's the same landlord as the 175.
Yeah, it is.
So you could maybe email her or something and tell her that Al passed away and so he's not going to be doing the lease anymore.
I think he just put in his 30 days.
I think he already did,
but I should let her know.
Yeah, just so whatever you want to do with that stuff, give it away or whatever, it's fine.
Yeah.
We don't care about anything in there.
Yeah, Al wanted me to just call DI and see if they'd come take all the stuff in the house, but I don't know if they'll do that.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
Goodwill, maybe, but I don't know.
Okay, you guys don't want anything out of there?
Nope.
I wonder if Zuli does.
I'm pausing at 2543. Did you hear Melanie inquire if Chad and Lori want any of Alex's belongings?
Yes.
And did you hear Lori's response?
They don't want anything.
And this is the same day that Lori's brother had passed away?
I believe it was the day after that this recording was made.
It had been the day after. And she wanted nothing of his.
Right.
Continuing on from 2543.
We just took his swords and his guitar and all his like musical stuff. That's what he wanted. And
right.
So
you can take the Band Hero and the Xbox 360. I hope you already have it.
Yeah, we got that.
Okay, good. So yeah, just wait. I don't care about anything in that house. So
hey, is this your number?
This is the number we're using today, but we might change you from a different number tomorrow.
Okay, well,
this is the phone we were talking to Al on when all that happened, and they went to search the house, so they probably got his phone.
Yeah, well, you have my number, and I feel like it'll be, I don't know, I feel really safe with this phone. Like, I set it up really carefully with, you know, so.
Yeah, it's good, babe. We have your number. I wrote it down on a piece of paper, so that way I can call you.
Okay. Maybe I should give you, I can give you Ian's number or something, but you can always call me through Zuli or something, too, so.
Right.
I'm going to deposit $26.50. There was talk in there of Chad and Lori maybe changing their phone number. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Did you learn whether or not it was common for them to change their phone numbers?
Yeah, they went through quite a few burner phones.
Did Melanie always have access to that information?
Not always.
Did she sometimes have to rely on them to reach out to her?
Yes.
Did she always make sure they had a way to reach her?
Yes.
Continuing on at $26.50.
Yeah, we'll just send a password. You know, what word would you recommend just to let you know it's us?
So we were using Pretty Bird if it means your phone is not safe or the cops have your phone. And then we were using Not Happy Bob if if it's safe to, is that if it's safe to call?
Safe, yeah.
So but okay. The police have seen those text messages, so they might be on to that. So let's say Jamie Powell.
Jamie Powell?
Yeah, Jamie Powell, if it's like good, if it's you and it's good, it's safe to call. And if it's not safe to call, then we'll say, Daddy, we're down.
Okay, that's good. Jamie Powell and Daddy, we're down.
Fine. Stopping at 2744. There's talk there of some code words. Did you hear that in there?
Yes.
Do you know why the code words were necessary in, or why they wanted to have those?
They wanted to be sure that whatever phone they were using to communicate was not being tracked by the police.
And moving to 2929.
Everything's going to be different. But Al set it up that I had Chad and you got Ian just before he left. He had to have us both protected because he was our protector.
Yeah.
And he couldn't go until that mission was accomplished. So I'm so grateful that you have Ian. Yeah, don't ruin it with Ian. Be not
in a stop at 2955. In there, did you hear the reference to Al being a protector?
Yes.
Do you know who designated Al the protector?
I don't.
I'm going to object unless there's some foundation.
I'm asking if he knows.
A world.
I don't know.
And moving to 3001.
Oh, she's not going to run me off.
You ever need to talk to Dad? Here I am.
There you go.
Yeah. Did you hear someone on there saying, ever need to talk to Dad? Here I am.
Yes.
And who's saying that?
Chad.
Do you know who he's saying that to?
Me.
At any point, had you referred to Chad as Dad?
I may have. I'm pretty sure I'd kind of taken that up and just, you know, in support of Melanie and, you know, how she looked to him.
Did you look to Chad as a dad?
No.
Did you look to Chad for advice?
No.
Moving to 3107.
If you have any feelings like I shouldn't go there, then just let me know. But otherwise, you could probably leave tomorrow and just drive. I don't feel safe flying. So after the police incident.
Yeah.
I'm not getting a yes or no yet. We just need to see what's transpiring with her, but then we'll talk and decide.
Okay.
Like, don't get up and bolt out of there at 6 a.m. or anything.
Just wait to hear from you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And stopping at 3145. Do you know where Melanie was planning on going in that conversation?
I do not remember.
Did you hear her inquiring of Chad for advice?
Yes.
And did you hear Chad's responses to her?
Yes.
And did Chad ultimately direct her to wait to hear from him?
Yes.
And again, was it common for Melanie to turn to Chad for advice and counsel?
Yes.
I may have just a moment.
Yes.
I have no further questions.
I'm going to suggest we take our mid-afternoon recess at this time. We'll go ahead and take about 20 minutes. And I do briefly want to discuss an issue just with counsel in a sidebar. So we'll do that now.
All right, please.
Thank you. I believe the jurors are lined up. So once we're ready, they can be brought in.
Yes, sir. All right, please. Here's our president counsel for your honor.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right. That concludes the mid-afternoon break. Mr. Pulowski still on the stand on direct. We can have the witness brought back in. You can continue with direct, Ms. Blake.
And Your Honor, I believe I just had concluded direct.
Oh, thank you for the reminder. I will have Mr. Pryor commence with cross then once our witness is back on the stand. Mr. Pryor, you can start with your cross-examination whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Judge. Good afternoon, Mr. Pulowski. My understanding is that your marriage to Melanie was when?
November 30th, 2019.
And prior to Melanie moving to Idaho, you hadn't met her before, is that right?
Correct.
And Melanie moved to Idaho in late November?
It was mid-October, I believe.
Okay. But you met Melanie through a LDS site, is that right, on about the 19th of November?
A dating app, yeah.
All right, on the 19th of November, sir?
Yes.
Okay. So from the 19th of November of 2019 to the 30th of November of 2019, your courtship was about 11 or 12 days, is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And then you decided to get married after the 11 or 12 days, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. That's not particularly unusual in the LDS faith, is it? For early or quicker marriages, correct?
I'd say it's faster than most LDS marriages.
Okay. But for the most part, it's not unusually that...
Objection, Your Honor. Asked and answered.
Sustained.
Okay. And you met Chad for the first time on November 23rd, 2019?
Yes.
Okay. And you talked about all of these discussions with Chad. Other than November 23rd of 2019, isn't it true you never spoke to him face-to-face again until after that time?
Correct. I only met him in person on the 23rd of November.
And the only other contact you would have with Chad Daybell were these 9 recordings that you recorded. Is that fair?
There was one additional contact where I called and spoke with him and Lori directly.
When was that?
That was on November, I want to say it was the night of Thanksgiving, probably the 24th or 25th of November, 2019.
Were they on vacation somewhere at that point?
I don't know where they were.
Okay. Was that a lengthy phone call?
It was probably about 45 minutes.
Okay. 4 to 5 or 45?
45.
Five. Okay. Now, in regards to your wife and Alex Cox, did they have frequent phone contact?
They spoke pretty regularly for the short time that I knew Alex.
And how would you define frequently?
Every other day, every 2 or 3 days.
Okay. And was that by phone call or was that by text message or was it by some other medium?
Phone call and text.
Okay. And you heard on the tape recording, I believe it was the second tape recording where either Lori or Melanie defined Alex as their protector. Is that right?
Right.
Okay. And you're aware of some of the allegations regarding your wife and Alex and Brandon Boudreau. Is that right?
I'm aware.
Okay. And in that situation, do you disagree that maybe Alex was Melanie's protector on that day?
Objection, Your Honor. Calls for speculation.
Overruled.
I believe that Al was not acting as a protector.
Alex was not acting as a protector?
If he had her best interest in mind, he would not have done that.
Okay. All right. But you could perceive where Alex felt he was being the protector on that day when he takes a pot shot at Brandon Boudreau, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you're also aware of Charles Vallow, correct?
Yes.
And you're aware that Alex is accused of murdering Charles Vallow?
Yes.
At close range. And are you aware that Chad Daybell is not implicated in that?
I was not.
Okay. But you're aware that Alex was implicated in that, correct?
Yes.
And the victim in that case, Charles Vallow, was Lori Vallow's husband, correct?
Yes.
So once again, Alex was the protector of Lori in that situation, right? Just like he was the protector of your wife with Brandon Boudreaux, correct?
Objection, Your Honor. Counsel's testifying.
Sustained.
Move to strike.
Strike that answer, or I'm sorry, the question.
Okay. Did you ever get any information that your wife was a suspect in this case?
No.
Okay. Your wife lived close in proximity to Lori Vallow, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And would you say that your wife was and Lori were as far as relatives, as close as relatives could get?
Yes.
Okay. There was a mention of your wife being in the ER tonight. What was that all about?
She was suffering a medical condition that was causing her a lot of pain.
Okay.
And we went to the ER to sort it out.
Okay.
Mr. Pryor, I apologize to interrupt. I want to have a quick sidebar with counsel. Quick issue taken up outside the presence of the jurors. We're not going to take a break necessarily. If they could just line up outside the hall, this should be very quick. And then we'll go back on after I address that outside of the jurors' presence.
Yes, sir. All rise, please.
All right. Thank you. Please be seated. All right. Counsel, the court was advised of something that concerned me during the testimony of this witness. Nothing that you did, Mr. Pawlowski, but I do have a concern. Mr. Pawlowski has counsel here in the courtroom. The attorney that's here representing Mr. Pawlowski, I'm going to have him exit the courtroom at this time. If the marshals please assist him out of the courtroom, and he's not going to be permitted to remain through the testimony of this witness. Mr. Pryor, if you want to briefly inquire on the issue we raised on the sidebar, you may do that outside of the presence of the jurors, just as to whether or not there was any potential influence of the witness's testimony.
Mr. Pawlowski, the gentleman who was just escorted out of the courtroom, do you know who that is?
Yes, that's Garrett Smith.
That's who?
Garrett Smith.
He's an attorney?
Yes.
And he's licensed in which state?
Arizona.
Okay. And at this point, Mr. Smith was listening to your testimony. Is that correct?
Yes.
And at some point during the testimony, Mr. Smith was nodding his head and acknowledging to you about responses to my questions. Is that in fact true?
No.
Okay.
All right. That concludes the inquiry then. And we'll go ahead and have the jurors return for additional cross-examination. So if everyone would rise for the jurors, we'll go ahead and have the jurors brought back in.
All right, please. So, President, counter for your honor.
All right. Thank you. Please be seated. All right, we're back on the record now on CR 22-21-16-23. The court did call a sidebar there. I would instruct the jurors who have returned now to not speculate as to what occurred in the sidebar. I will note it was nothing that counsel did on his cross-examination nor that the witness did. And so please don't speculate as to what occurred. But Mr. Pryor, with that in mind, you may continue.
Okay.
I'll also mention it was nothing the state did as well. It was just something the court observed. Go ahead.
Mr. Pawlowski, you mentioned Melanie Gibb.
Yes.
Did you have an occasion to get to meet Melanie Gibb?
No.
Okay. Now, you understand there were discussions around the 23rd of November about the disappearance of two children by the Rexburg Police Department. Were you aware of that?
Yes. At the time, well, can you give me some context on timing?
November 23rd, 2019.
Right. But as far as when I would have learned about it.
Well, you were aware that on that date, the police were looking for J.J. Vallow. Is that correct?
Yes, I learned that later. Yeah.
Learned that later. Okay. And you went and had contact with the police the first time when?
December 5th or 6th, I believe.
Okay. And that contact, at the time of that contact, were you aware that on November 5th or 6th, Melanie Gibb had not gone to the police to tell them her side of the story?
I had not.
Do you recall on the tape recording, the first tape recording, 266A, where there's a discussion that there's only a chance Melanie's going to do this or there's a chance she's not going to do this?
Right, yes.
And that was in reference to whether or not she was going to the police and tell them the truth, correct?
Right.
And that recording took place with you on what day, sir?
That was December 6th or 7th.
Okay, so on December 6th or 7th, would it be safe to assume that at that point, Melanie Gibb had not gone to the police about the whereabouts of JJ.
Objection, Your Honor. Calls for speculation. I think the recording speaks for itself.
Sustained.
Okay. So the personal knowledge you have is that you don't know at that point if Melanie had gone to the police, correct?
Correct.
Okay. But there was a discussion about whether she was going to do that on the 5th or 6th, right? Correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, was there ever an occasion where the police asked to look at your wife, Melanie Pulowski's phone?
The only occasion I recall is when I was there at the police station, they were tracking her location.
Okay. They were tracking her location then.
Right.
Okay. There is some reference to the name Hermosillo.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that one of the police officers that you interviewed with on the 6th or 7th?
Yes.
And that Hermosillo is who?
He's currently lieutenant at the Rexburg Police Department. At the time, he was a detective.
Okay, but that's Lieutenant Ray Hermosillo?
Correct.
Okay. And your wife on one of the recordings, I think it's at 3326, mentions that Hermosillo is raged. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay, he's yelling at me. Remember that?
Yes.
Okay. The police were harassing her?
Objection, Your Honor. Calls for speculation.
Did you recall her saying the police were harassing her?
Objection, Your Honor. Misstates the audio.
Sustained.
Do you recall her something saying not going to stop until they get what they want?
Yes.
Okay. Now, at any time, did Lori Vallow tell you or Melanie that this was all about a custody fight over the children with Larry and Kay Woodcock?
There were never any details discussed as to why it was happening.
Okay. So in other words, they didn't tell you that it was one issue or another, just that they weren't going to disclose where the children were, correct?
Correct.
And when they say they weren't, they meant Melanie and Lori and Alex, correct?
No.
Well, Chad never told you that the children were dead, correct?
No.
Chad never told you that the plan was that he was going to kill the children, correct?
That would be foolish.
Okay.
No, he didn't.
Okay. Chad never discussed in any of these 9 or 10 recordings that you made that his intent was to murder anybody, correct?
Correct.
And during the discussion, there was a talk about getting out of, was it Madison County?
Rexburg.
Rexburg's Madison County, right?
Correct.
Okay. And there was discussion, I heard references to Idaho Falls.
Yes.
And You would know better than I would, but Idaho Falls is about a half hour south of Rexburg.
Correct.
So it wasn't that they were saying run away and hide. Isn't it true they were saying get out of Madison County because it's a dirty county?
That's what they were implying.
Hey, do you know who the prosecutor is in Madison County?
Objection, Your Honor. Relevance, argumentative, move to strike.
Sustained. Strike the answer. Question.
But the theme of this was that they felt that that Melanie and Lori and Alex felt that the police department were corrupt in Madison County. Is that right?
Objection, Your Honor. Misstates the audio.
Sustained.
Okay. There's a discussion about Kane, and you recall that. You gave an explanation for that, correct?
Yes.
And they were talking about Kane being... Well, I'll ask it this way. Were they talking about these Kane figures being the police in Madison County?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever heard the term fundamental Mormon?
Yes.
What is your definition of a fundamental Mormon?
Objection, Your Honor. Relevance?
Sustained.
Okay. There's discussions about castings.
Yes.
And you mentioned that in some context, castings are consistent with the LDS faith.
Yes.
And in fact, there's references, and I just forgot his Newell. Was that one of the subjects where there was a casting performed by Joseph Smith? Do you recall that?
I don't.
Okay. So the idea of having a casting is not something that's new or unique to the LDS faith. Is that right?
No.
And when we have a casting, what are we talking about specifically?
The idea of a casting is to remove... remove evil from someone.
Okay. And if you're someone in your faith and removing evil from someone or a spirit from someone in your faith as part of the LDS faith, that doesn't mean that the person dies at the end of that casting, does it?
No.
In fact, in your faith, if you perform a casting on someone, the human part flourishes and moves on, and the evil spirit is extracted from that person, correct?
That's what's hoped, yes.
And that's part of your faith as an LDS person, correct?
I've begun to separate myself from pretty much all religion at this point.
Okay. Now, we talked a little bit about the three kingdoms in the LDS faith. And could you talk to me about what the three kingdoms are that you were referencing in the LDS faith?
Yes. So the celestial kingdom would be the fullness of glory.
All right, hold it. You're going to go quick for me. So we got to slow down. And
okay.
Let's do one at a time, if that's sure. Okay. Sure. Celestial kingdom is what?
That's where you would receive all of the blessings promised. It's a fullness of glory. That's the highest attainable reward.
And then when you're in the celestial kingdom, where are you?
You're living with God in heaven.
Okay. And then before you get there, what's the next one?
It would be the terrestrial.
And what is that one?
It's a paradise. And compare, if you were to compare it to Earth, it would be a paradise.
Okay.
Basically. And kinda, also heaven, just a lesser version of heaven.
So, and I'm not trying to minimize this. I'm trying to understand this. Sure. So it's a halfway point between being with God and halfway between somewhere, correct?
Right.
And then before you get to the halfway point, what's the first one?
Telestial.
And where are people in the telestial?
On Earth.
Okay. So there are three kingdoms. You start with the telestial, and that's most of us.
Right.
Or it's hopefully most of us, right?
So celestial would, telestial would be your earthly kingdom. Terrestrial is halfway between here and there, the celestial kingdom, and celestial is the highest.
And what do you have to do to get from one to the next one?
Just keep the commandments, live in accordance with God's law, take out covenants in the temple, and just live and then uphold those covenants as you live through your life.
Live a good life.
Yep.
Okay. And when you say obey the commandments, you're not going to reach the celestial kingdom if you violate any of the commandments, right?
Correct.
Or you'll have to make some sort of can you do something to solve the, if you violate one of the commandments, is there something you can do to fix that before you get there?
Objection, Your Honor. Relevance?
Sustained.
Okay. Now, you talked a little bit about the 144,000, right?
Yes.
And again, that's referenced in a number of biblical references, correct?
Right.
Yeah. And that's the people who are here, who move on when the second coming of...
It depends on who you're talking to.
Okay.
My understanding of the 144,000 is a group of chosen people that will herald in the second coming.
Okay. So isn't it true? It's not that Chad was saying he was leading the 144,000. He just felt he was part of the 144,000.
Objection, Your Honor. Misstates the prior testimony.
Sustained.
Isn't it true that Chad was helping to gather the 144,000 and that he didn't believe he was leading the 144,000?
Objection, Your Honor. Misstates the prior testimony.
Sustained.
Okay. Is it possible that Chad was conveying to you that he was going to be part of the 144,000 and that he was not leading the 144,000?
Objection, Your Honor. Misstates the prior testimony. Asked and answered.
Ruled.
Isn't it true?
The understanding that I had is he had taken a leadership role in gathering the 144,000.
And Chad never said that he was going to take over the Lord's role, right?
I can't remember if it was specifically with him or not. There was some discussion about that, but I don't remember hearing that specifically from Chad, no.
Okay. There was some reference at about 2650 on the second tape. We were using Purdy Bird, or what was that about?
Code words?
Yeah. What was that about?
So there were a lot of burner phones that were being purchased and used. Okay. And to avoid using a compromised burner phone, code words were used.
But Melanie also said we were using, in reference to some email communication, implying that both you and her were using that to communicate with Lori and Alex. Do you have any recollection of that?
I don't remember any email communication where that was used.
Okay. And you would say that Melanie's view of Chad and Lori was more of a mother and fatherly relationship. Would that be fair?
Yes.
Okay. Not necessarily a religious leader of her, more of a fatherly, motherly figure, correct?
No, I'd say both.
Okay. And during the tape, I heard, and this was Lori Vallow saying that she was talking to Tammy.
Yes.
And that was Tammy Daybell?
Yes.
Did she happen to mention how she was talking to Tammy?
She did not.
Okay. The other issue is that there was some discussion about Alex wanting certain people to have some of his items.
Yeah.
Correct?
He wanted his, well, I don't remember specifically.
It's okay.
You have to refresh me.
But something about a guitar.
Yeah.
Xbox.
Yep.
And some other miscellaneous things.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So was it your understanding that Alex knew that he was going to be passing away?
No.
Are you aware of the circumstances in which Alex Cox passed away?
Yes.
And what is your understanding of why Alex Cox passed away?
He suffered a pulmonary edema.
Okay. He had some health issues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Natural causes then.
Yeah.
Okay. Did Alex ever display to you when he, or discuss with you the fact that he was aware that he had this pulmonary edema?
No.
This was a sudden situation that came on without any notice. Would that be fair?
There was a point where Chad and Lori contacted Melanie and stated before Alex died that there would be a powerful spiritual attack.
Okay. But you're saying that at least in your mind, there was no powerful spiritual attack. He died of a pulmonary edema, correct?
Correct.
Okay. But again, the question was that you had no knowledge of any of Alex's health issues before that you were aware. You and Melanie weren't aware that Alex had any health issues before he suffers this pulmonary edema. Is that right?
Right.
Okay. There was some discussion that I heard about vibrations. Do you understand this vibration stuff?
Basically, in the same context that, you know, an energy worker or some, you know, you see somebody walking around with crystals or, you know, that kind of thing would talk about vibrations, just an aura or anything like that. That's my understanding of it. I never heard a whole lot of it outside of that.
Okay. So it's not something that, at least in your mind, is mainstream as part of your religion.
No.
It's something that would be outside of your religion if someone was doing energy work. So if someone's saying they're LDS and I do energy work, would it be fair to say they might be a little misguided?
Objection, Your Honor, calls for speculation.
Sustain.
Okay. And if I could just have a moment, Judge, may I?
Yes.
We had the opportunity to listen to a couple of lengthy blessings. Blessings in general are not something that's unusual within the LDS faith. Is that fair?
Yes.
People give each other blessings all the time.
Yeah.
And that doesn't necessarily mean they're patriarchal blessing. I'm not talking about patriarchal blessings. I'm talking about just general blessings. It's not unusual for people within your faith to say, I'm going to give you a blessing.
Correct.
And that happens, I don't want to say frequently, but regularly.
Yes.
Okay. Do you believe that it was Melanie's belief that she was being harassed by the Rexburg Police Department?
Yes.
Okay. And do you believe that it was Officer Hermosillo who was harassing Melanie Pulaski?
Yes.
Okay. There was some reference in 1917 on the second tape that your wife said something, well, we don't want to tell them that Alex died, because something about continue to let him fear for the rest of his life. Who are they talking about?
Brandon.
Brandon Boudreau?
Correct.
So when that reference was made, your wife didn't necessarily want to tell Brandon Boudreau that Alex died because she wanted him to be fearful of him of Alex for the rest of his life.
I don't know that she honestly felt that way. He's the father of her kids, but she had a lot of frustration toward Brandon at that time.
And the relationship with her and Brandon was, to say the least, was a heated custody battle, was it not?
Correct.
Okay. Okay, Judge, I don't think I have anything else. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Proya. All right, you can redirect, Ms. Blake.
Thank you. And Mr. Pulaski, to be clear, the recordings that were made for law enforcement, Chad and Lori are not on all of those recordings. Is that correct?
Correct.
And the two that we heard parts of today, Chad and Lori, are on those recordings, correct?
Yes.
At some point, did you learn whether or not Chad and Alex had had conversations regarding the attempted shooting of Brandon?
There was a misunderstanding that I had so when Melanie and I were married on our wedding night, there was some discussion about that. Yes.
And you were asked about your belief that Alex was the one that took the shots at Brandon. Is that what you believe?
Yes.
You were asked about your wife, Melanie, and Lori being close. Is it fair to say they were close?
Yes.
And you said it was your belief that Melanie did not move to Rexburg until sometime in October, like mid-October?
Yeah.
Is that your recollection? So. Could it have even been later in October?
Might have been November.
Are you aware that JJ and Tylee were last seen in September?
Yes.
So before your wife relocated here?
Correct.
Do you know where Melanie was living before moving to Rexburg?
She was in Chandler, Arizona.
And you were asked about the Rexburg Police Department being dark. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Do you recall Lori and Chad telling you that they were dark?
I remember the phone calls where they discussed that. Yes.
And you had gone in and met with the police on approximately December 5th. Is that your recollection?
Yes.
When you met with the police, did you learn that they were looking for JJ and Tylee?
Yes.
And there was reference on the audio, and counsel asked again about it, about Detective Hermosillo was not going to stop. Do you recall that?
Yes.
What was Detective Hermosillo doing?
Judge, I'm an objection. He doesn't have any knowledge of what Hermosillo was doing.
Overruled.
Do you know what Detective Hermosillo was doing that he wasn't going to stop?
He was investigating the whereabouts of Tylee and JJ.
So Detective Hermosillo was trying to find a missing 16-year-old.
Judge, I'm an object. It's a leading question.
Sustained.
Did you have concerns for the safety or whereabouts of Tylee and JJ?
Yes.
Did the police indicate they shared those concerns?
Yes.
Did Chad ever offer to tell law enforcement where Tylee and JJ were?
No.
Judge, I'm going to object. Lack of knowledge.
Too late, Mr. Pryor. Sorry.
Based on your conversations or conversations you were present for, did Chad ever indicate where the kids were?
Judge, objection. Lack of knowledge.
Overruled.
No, he didn't.
Did Lori ever indicate where the kids were?
No.
Do you recall in the recording where they indicated Melanie would be a target because she was the only one they knew where she was located?
Yes.
At that point, did Chad or Lori offer to do anything to assist with finding the kids?
No.
In what you learned regarding how Chad and Lori taught castings, what had to happen to the body if someone was possessed?
Judge, objection. There hasn't been sufficient foundation.
Overruled.
The idea was that if a casting failed, the body would be destroyed.
You were asked about Melanie believing that law enforcement was harassing her. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Do you know who she was talking to about law enforcement?
Chad and Lori.
Do you know who was telling her to avoid law enforcement?
Chad and Lori.
Do you know who was telling her law enforcement was dark?
Chad and Lori.
At some point, did you learn where Tylee and JJ were found?
Yes.
Where was that?
Chad's backyard.
I have no further questions.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake. That will conclude the testimony then of Mr. Pawlowski. I'm going to inquire from the state and then the defense, is there any intent to recall this witness?
No, Your Honor. He may be released.
No objection to releasing him, Judge.
Okay. Any subpoena you are under, Mr. Pawlowski, you no longer have to be concerned with. You are released from those subpoenas. Thank you for appearing to testify, and you can go ahead and step down.
Thank you.
All right, counsel, given the time where we just concluded a witness, I'm thinking maybe we break for the day. Is the state ready to proceed with a quick enough witness to be done, or should we consider breaking for the
end? No, Your Honor, we were just looking at the time. I think given the time, our next witness, we would anticipate being on the stand for some time, and I worry we would get to an awkward place to end for the day. So we would recommend we simply end for the day.
Okay. Thank you. Well, I think that makes sense given that we're about 3:20 now. So that will conclude evidence for today. For those in attendance, thank you for complying with the courtroom conduct order. For the jurors, thank you again for following the court's admonishment over the weekend. As you break for the day, please continue to follow that admonishment that you are not permitted to discuss the case amongst yourselves or with anyone else. Please don't research the case or do anything to follow any media of the case. And with that in mind, we'll see you tomorrow morning for continuing evidence at 8:30.
All right, please.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.